First Timothy chapter 5, verses 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Verse 18, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Do not muzzle an oxen while it's treading out the grain. The worker is worthy of his wages. Now, many times we must have to pay attention to what Paul is communicating to Timothy. Now, in the CSB version, he says the elders who are good leaders are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. They are to be considered worthy double honor. Those who work hard at preaching and teaching. You know, it's amazing today that the world does not see the work of preaching and teaching as labor. But Paul today, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, make sure that there's some who are called elders. They must be counted worthy of double honor. Now, he specifically tells which elders are to be counted worthy of double honor. Then he says, those who labor in doctrine and in the word, or in the word, which is doctrine. Many times it's easy to walk in, share dishonor towards the people that labor over you. It's easy to despise what your pastor does for you. You know, many times we're so excited, especially African, you know, Africa as a culture. We are sort of like very excited when it turns out that we always want to do something when somebody is gone. It's like, oh, let's show our appreciation when the person is gone. Oh, let's go and buy all the flowers and things for the person. But you see, when the person was alive, you never saw a need to walk in that kind of honor. So you see that in Kumasi and some other places in Africa, but many places, they spend more time on funerals. And they have big, big funerals, spanning into several tens of thousands. Rather, the person alive did not have any attention from anybody and was not even catered for and loved and cared for. So one of the things that we must learn to do as a people and as a church is to learn to count people of honor. And not just to honor them, but the Bible says it must be called double honor. It must be double honor. I'll take time to probably explain the expression double honor tomorrow. But I believe you have to be conscious of this if we're going to see God move in a certain way and experience Him move in that way that we want to see Him. I shared this with you because I sensed something when I went with a couple of people to pastor's place over the week to minister in his church. And I could sense that he had honor in his heart for all of us in a very unique way. Yeah, I could sense that very strongly. So I would not be shocked if God moved or God did something in the lives of the people that were around. So there's something about honor. There's something about highly placing reverence on something. Let's see Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I'll take a few more days to teach on this very clearly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. We're going to stay on 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. For a few more days. I want to talk King James Version. But the CSV version says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Imitate their faith. KJV, Hebrews 13, 17. This Waterstown Version. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Those that have rule over you, he's talking about your pastor, and people who have delegated authority by your pastor. So he's saying, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself. Why did he say, no, everybody cannot be submitted? You all have the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, you all have the Lord, and so be strong in yourselves, for you are the ones that watch over your souls. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Your pastor watches for your souls. And they will give account. But while they are giving account, he says that make sure that they do it with joy. You see, there are some people that when you give account of them, it's a sour experience. Or it's a grieving experience. It's like you just have to say, okay, they are also here, so that's the people, or that's him, or that's her. Oh, she's also here, that's her. It's a gnawing experience, a sour. But he says that make sure that they give account of you, that they may do it with joy. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Then he says, if they should grieve about you, he says, it is unprofitable for you. It means it's not good at all for you as a person. So your pastor is someone who has been sent into your life to watch over you, to shepherd you, to pray over you, to labor over you, to teach you. Then he says, you must honor. You know, don't do anything that is outside the Bible. But if it's in the Bible, it means that you should be able to follow it. And when you follow it, you're going to have the blessings that come with obeying what the Bible says. So, you're going to obey, not argue. Obey. Obey. You treat a thing with regard and with great respect. Some of you, even when you're angry and your pastor tries to talk to you, or your pastor asks somebody to talk to you, you might just say, no. Sometimes you will not say it with your mouth. But the way you even present yourself in the whole situation shows that you are not obeying. Nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody can force me. Oh. He said, obey. And not all times will it be suitable for you to obey. Because sometimes the flesh might want to say, I also have a say. I also want to argue. I also have to make them understand that I'm also there. I also am like this. I also am like that. But you have to obey. You have to obey. You have to obey. It's to willfully be given to a course of listening. To do what you ordinarily would not want to do. Why? Don't forget. Because you're not going to just obey, but you're going to have submission as well. Bible says, if ye be willing and obedient. If ye be willing and obedient. There's a difference between obedience and submission. Willingly. Because sometimes you have obeyed, but you are not willing. Like what pastor is saying, he doesn't still understand my case yet. I get to see wonderful things happen when I realize that a people listen and they obey. I get to see wonderful things happen. So it will not be right for me to always go to places that people, you know, love me and cherish me and, you know, obey me, and then they get to see amazing things, and then it's like my own people would not want to obey. I'm not saying you are not obeying, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that to say a point, just saying that to say something. So you want to walk in that honor today and tomorrow and tomorrow next. We're going to be going on 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor. Let the elders that rule well. I think now I'm going to have a more foundational teachings than in the subsequent days we'll be moving in the room. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. So we're going to be looking at double honor this week. 3 days. Looking at double honor. How we can outdo ourselves in honor of our leader. In honor of the person God has sent to us. So we're going to outdo ourselves in honor of our pastor. In honor of the people that teach us God's word, in honor of the brethren one to another, in honor of us together as a body. You know why we call everybody sir and we call everybody ma? It's because we want everybody to be honored in a very beautiful way. That's why we call everybody sir, call everybody ma. Even if the person was 10 years old, it's Seth or Ma. Doesn't matter how young or old she is, that's how she is. So, in this 2 or 3 days, we're going to let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Then he says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. The laborer is worthy of his reward. God is granting you the grace to be able to walk in this honor I'm talking about, and I'm going to teach you. We're going to look at it. It's interesting. We're going to look at how it can work. I'm not the one saying it all. I'm not the one saying it. If I was the one saying it, I'll not tell you 1 Timothy 5:17. Or Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself for the watch over your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. So when we always have to cry about you and talk about you, that's doing it with grief. This is unprofitable unto you. But, you know, we're going to have a house that walks in honor. We're going to have a house that walks in honor. Everybody walks in honor. And we know who our pastor is. I'm going to teach you, I think, Reverend Niger says something that he teaches it at least every 3 months. Because people forget to walk in honor. People forget. You see, you must walk in so much honor that even when you are angry with somebody and your pastor tells you that this thing, leave it, you don't have anything to say. You just, the anger disappears. Or you're not in talking terms with someone. Your pastor says, no, you are wrong. That's not the time to find yourself explaining. Oh, you know, pastor, please, I really need you to understand what I'm going to do. Just say I'm wrong, that's all. It's not the time to explain yourself. It's not the time to try to, you know, speak about whatever it is that you have done. No, I'm wrong. You see, let me tell you one thing. I know in many marriages, there must be a single voice that when you hear, all your anger and your resentment and your pain and hurt and whatever, for whoever partner, it disappears. There must be that one person. Yeah. You are wrong. This person says, no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I've left. I don't have anything to say. I can't say anything. I agree. Because the moment that is not there, you mean that everybody can go haywire. Yeah. I was talking to someone one time. I think he's listening now. He knows he's the one. And he sent me some pictures of something that had happened with he and his whatever. His good friend and lover. And I said, this one, you are wrong. And he said, oh, okay. I said, yes, please, but where did I miss it? And I said, I'll show you where you missed, but you are wrong. And it didn't look to him like he was wrong when he should, but I said, he was the one that was at fault. Yeah, I said, you are wrong. And he said, okay. So please, can you show me where I was wrong? Can you show me where I was wrong? Rather, you know, Pastor, you don't understand, you know. You don't get it. Pastor, please, you see something. See this particular place. She was the one that caused. You don't get it. I just said, you are the wrong one. Yeah. And by the time I explained to him that he's wrong, you know that he was the one that was wrong. Yeah. Why? Because you will obey. So you're going to learn to obey them that have rule over you and submit. We're going to look at obedience and submission. Some of you tell you to go to school. You are still telling me, Pastor, please, you want to do ministry. Pastor, please, want to. I said go to school. You are telling me you want to do ministry. Just obey. Just obey. do your masters. You are still explaining stories to me. Then the master pastor, please, master, please. I said, go and do your masters. You are still explaining things to me. So let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Not a small honor, double. So in this day, we're going to tighten up our honor. Double honor, extra honor. Twice as much of it. Twice as much of it. The word of God that is saying it, telling us that if you don't honor your pastor who rules well, you are not obeying God's word. Those who rule are those who lead you, those who pastor you. They are worthy of honor. It means that it's appropriate and it's befitting that they be honored. So making this will cause your relationship with them to flourish, and their relationship with you as well to increase and to do well. We're a people of honor. We know how to. We understand what it means to. We love it. We cherish it. We know that it is God's word for us too. See, forget of the people who are saying that we are just being say with honor, what is honor? We don't do that thing. Look into their lives. Just look into their lives, whether they are flowing in the power of God, they are flowing in the anointing, they are flowing in the gifts of the Spirit in a very beautiful way. Just look and see. Many times there's nothing to show. So don't take that route. You're my children, I tell you, don't take that route. Yeah, don't take that route. Don't be like other people who do not see the essence of seeing something and loving it and esteeming it and cherishing it. Yeah, don't take that route. Don't take that route. When you look into their lives and there's nothing, you say, no, I have to advise myself. And I'm going to be that Christian that walks in honor.
We're looking at honor. Sometimes it could be real. That means it could be hearty from the heart. And then there are also times where is not hearty or is not real, simply because the people do not understand what it means to walk in honor. We saw how that Paul had written to Timothy, telling Timothy how that a certain kind of people must be double honored. You know, certain times we could just do things, but we must also make sure we're doing it the way God wants us to do it, according to His word. So we're going to take some time. looking at honor, because it's so important. Not many people even understand why they do what they do. So we're going to look at what we are dealing is, and why is it very necessary that we all get to walk in that. We'll come back to the scriptures I gave. And the word honor is very prime in God's word. It means to regard, or to respect, or to treat as uncommon. So when you meet something and you treat that thing as uncommon, we can at least say that you are walking in honor towards that thing. You see, there are times where you commonize something. So before you realize, whatever that was supposed not to be common, you are sort of approaching it commonly. But that's not how God wants us, or what God wants us to approach, how God wants us to approach these relationships that He has planted around us. So, to walk in honor towards somebody means that you respect highly, you regard highly. You treat as uncommon. You treat as sacred. You declare something holy. So we must be careful how that we begin to see this particular word. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, Jesus used it severally in his teaching. Matthew 13:57, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Jesus used it severally in his teachings. Now, the word prophet there will mean a servant of God. See Mark chapter 6, verse 4. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. So the man of God, it's easy for him to be rejected by his own country folks, his own kindred, or his own house. See how he puts it in Luke chapter 4, verse 24. Luke chapter 4, verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. In John 4:44, he says, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. He's not esteemed. He's not respected. You treat as common or as sacred. or as holy. So the emphasis here is to treat the prophet of God, which is a minister of the gospel, with respect and regard. That is how they are supposed to be received or accepted. So they are going to be received with respect. You know, when it comes to my personal life, many of the things that I teach you, you even see that I wish you never even did them around me. But I should also be smart to know that those things done by you will be proofs of how that you can receive that which God is giving to you through me as a servant. So you're going to have great reverence for, great respect for, great honor for, not treat the minister of God with discontent, and you treat them very lightly. You're going to learn to respect. And when you do this, whatsoever it is that should be a blessing in your life, you will see that it will come to pass. I see you walking in honor in Jesus' name. The reasons why you have gifts is because gifts is a sign that you do not treat lightly. That's why kings and important people, even in the olden times, were people who accepted gifts. And before they got into certain places, they handed over gifts. Because a gift will say, I can recognize, I have respect for you. I'm not blind, I can see. So the focus is to treat the man of God, which is the minister of the gospel, with respect and regard. That's how you receive. That's how you're accepted. Your pastor is coming to your house or something. You should be able to have the best environment. It's not when your CEO boss is coming to your place, as good as that is. Because you can recognize, you have great respect for. That's why when you're going for an interview, you don't wear a 19. When you wear a suit, you wear a tie. Depending on where you're going, but you wear something very presentable. What you are saying non-verbally is that I regard you. So we're going to be respecting, regarding, treating as uncommon. Treat as uncommon. You don't commonize these pastors, these brothers. Oh, everybody that's come today, they are not even true men of God nowadays. Ah, what are you talking about? So Jesus uses these words intelligently in Matthew 13:57, Mark 6:4, Luke 4:24, John 4:44, and he points them to how that the minister ought to be highly received, regarded, esteemed. Let's also see how probably the other instance where honor was used. I'm probably going to come back to those instances, but I just want us to rush through them. Let's see something in Matthew 15, verse 4. Matthew 15, verse 4. Somebody should keep Matthew 19, verse 19. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He is using it very intelligently. Again, it means have regard for, have respect for, have regard for, be able to recognize. Means that we're going to be treating natural parents with regard and with respect. So we're going to learn to be able to regard, respect. Have you seen some people when they even see a pastor or something? They try to make the pastor right. See, we don't fear you. Other people fear you. We don't fear you. Many people who are like that never amount to anything tangible in the ministry. So we're going to learn how to do this. Amen. Are you going to learn how to do this? So we have gotten to learn that first, honor is to be able to regard, recognize. You esteem something very highly, like enormously. You see, I'm teaching you something that has the potency and that has the power to cause us to never be like any other ministry that does not grow and do well. Because the moment we cannot see and recognize and love and cherish and celebrate, we can't go far. We can't go far. I quite remember a story. I took a few people to come. And Bishop was saying that when he left the First Love Church for a while, and he was finally in the country again. After a short while, he said, when he came back, the people had celebrated him with his pictures and banners, and they were happy that he was back. Just a few weeks away. And so he has never seen something like that before. And because he could realize that the children, like our age, celebrated him, he told them, he said, from now you should call me prophet. And they all started calling him prophet. Yes. That's what honor can do. And he says when he speaks, they take it very seriously. And sometimes when he's even speaking and he says something, they go and do it. Even though what he said is not, it doesn't even make sense. So why wouldn't a church like that thrive and grow? Yes, things don't just work. I'm telling you, anything you see anywhere is not just working because you know they are good people or they have good feelings. Let's see how, you know, the word honor also was used in relation to Jesus. John 5:23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. It says, when you honor the Son, you honor the Father. When you dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. So what Jesus Christ is saying in the baptism is that we should honor the Son. I mean, John is that you honor the Son, which is synonymous to honoring the Father. Let's see something in John 8:49. Don't worry, just be okay with the scripture so we can look at it very clearly. So you will say, nice, this pastor does this. They are just trying to. We are not trying to. His Bible is highly biblical. Jesus answered. Drop verse 54 to. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Verse 54. I honor my Father. You are dishonoring me. Jesus answered verse 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Now let's go to verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So in the baptism, the emphasis was for them to honor the Son. So we've looked at how that God wants us to honor ministers, the prophet of God, number one. He also wants us to also honor parents and how he uses it contextually on parents, father and mother. Then we also get to see how God wants us to honor Jesus Christ, right? Don't worry, that's how I'm teaching it. I'm going to rearrange the order for you. And then let's see how also, you know, Paul in many writings wants us to honor the brethren, right? Let's see Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Romans chapter 12 verse 10. It's all honor. Whether honoring God, honoring Jesus, honoring the servant, honoring the body, which has to do with the saints, right? So in Romans chapter 12 verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate or affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another. Preferring one another. Let's see 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. So you're going to honor widows. These are natural relationships. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, which are your wives, giving honor unto the wife. You have regard for, you have respect for. You're not just a man and you just disrespect the woman. No, you have respect for. Respect her. The same way you want her to respect you, you to respect her. Don't treat her anyhow. When she says she doesn't like something, don't do it to her. Respect what she doesn't like and respect what she likes. There are two things also. It's like the place is quiet. Or if I hear me. So you learn to respect what she likes and what she doesn't like. Learn to respect it. Don't say she's supposed to be quiet and all of no. Giving honor unto the wife, you regard. He says, oh, I like this, you do it the more. Oh, I don't like it, you stop. Because she doesn't like it. Don't make her sad and don't make her feel she has to be treated, you know, with a lot of disdain. I'm not the one saying anything, I'm the one saying it, please. That's what I'm showing you. I didn't write any scriptures. So from the texts we've all gotten to read, we get to see how that the Bible is very clear and very replete on honor. Children, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Say, honor widows. Wife, honor your husband. Husband, honor your wife. So the emphasis on the teaching and the instruction on honor was for believers to honor God the Father, number one. Now, many times teachings can have different emphasis, but you know they are the same. Sometimes I could, as we look on the subject of honor, we're going to be, you know, just throwing more light on a certain emphasis. You know, but as we go, I'll narrow it down. But now I just want us to have more like a general approach to it. So for believers to honor God, the Father. Number two, the Lord Jesus. Number three, ministers of the gospel. Then number four, fellow believers. Because a widow is going to be a fellow believer. A spouse is going to be a fellow believer. Children are also going to be fellow believers. Parents, maybe not going to be fellow believers, maybe or maybe not. But he says that you should just respect or regard, don't disregard, don't treat in disdain. So ministers of the gospel ought to be treated with a lot of honor. You joke with it, you're joking with something very key in your life with God. So you're going to honor the Lord God, you're going to honor the Lord God Jesus Christ, you're going to honor his servants, which are ministers of the gospel. You're also going to honor fellow believers, your siblings, your friends, the people around you, the people who find themselves around you. You are supposed to regard. See, Jesus Christ is not joking. He's saying regard. I mean, just regard. Just regard. The people or the person sitting by you does not have to be in a clerical shirt. You regard him because he is a fellow believer. You don't treat lightly. You treat him lightly. You are treating Jesus right, lightly. One of the things that really gets to me is that, you know, in Paul's vision, where he had been caught up, you know, in Acts account, when Jesus spoke to him, he says, Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me? He didn't say, why you persecuted them? Why are you persecuting the people? No, he says, me, you are persecuting me. But Jesus, I never persecuted you. I never persecuted you. But right there in that vision of the voice, why are you persecuting me? Meanwhile, he was killing Christians. He didn't kill Jesus. He didn't go up to heaven and say, Jesus, stand up from your throne. I'm going to persecute you. But the Lord in that vision says, why are you doing this to me? It means what you do to the fellow believer, you do to Jesus Christ. That's why some people, you know, there was a story in the accounts of the gospel where he said, what you didn't do for another, you didn't do for me. I was in the prison. You didn't come and visit. He said, Lord, where were you in the prison? I didn't know. I would have come to visit you. He said, no, because you didn't do it for your brother, you didn't do it for me. You didn't do it for me. So you are going to learn to treat everyone with a lot of regard. You say, no, that's a believer. Let's handle with care. That's a believer. Let's handle with care. Because God's honor is on him. That's the man of God. Let's handle him with care. Because God has great regard for him. So, there were also instructions given to believers to honor your parents, men in position or authority, such as kings and other people, presidents, governors, principals. Yes, you should be able to honor those people as well. Those elder men, the foolish man. He says, principal, but he doesn't have sense. No. You shouldn't talk like that. In fact, your natural masters, God also wants you to honor them. Tomorrow, we continue on this subject of honor. You must keep it in your heart. You must keep it in your heart. And you must guard your minds with all diligence and renew it as well from all worldly information which have gained mastery over your thinking. The last thing I want to say to you is that learn to have an honor check. That's the last thing I'm led to share with you. In a few minutes before you go, learn to have an honor check. Some of you, a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, a few years ago, you used to see certain things as privileges that you never deserved. Today, you want to say, you don't maybe say it with your mouth openly, but in your heart, deserve to happen. But a few years ago, you were saying, wow, I don't even deserve this. I don't believe that I'm the one that, you know, he's talking to. I don't believe the prophet said hi to me. I remember people like that. The first time I said hi, they couldn't sleep. They were so excited. They felt very loved by God. Today, those same people will say hi and they will see the message and they'll be able to blue tick the message and reply in 2 hours' time. But we all can go back and do an honor check. Where have we missed it? You see, I've realized that, there are things that make a man very spiritual. Let me tell you two things. Number one, honor. It proves to a greater extent spirituality in a man. Number two, let me tell you the second thing, gratitude. If you can keep these two things around you, you're going to grow very well spiritually. Just gratitude. There are certain times, there are certain flows in my life sort of started to wane, and I was asking the Lord, why? He said, you didn't say thank you to this person. Go and say thank you to this person. Yeah. Say thank you. Show gratitude. Just be like in your heart, be able to recognize that this person has done something for you. That's why I highly esteem of people that bless my life. Because I'm thankful. Yeah, thankful. I remember a time, it was Kenneth Hagin's birthday. And I didn't even know. It didn't occur to me that it was that day. But that day when I woke up, I felt, today just honor Kenneth Hagin. Don't honor anybody, just honor Kenneth Hagin. So like, let's say when I wake up in the morning or in the afternoon, I'm pasting the pictures and just writing things about. Later in the evening, I go to check and that was the birthday. It was either the birthday or death. No, it was the birthday. Yeah, but it didn't occur to me that that was the birthday. So it's very spiritual to be able to recognize and place a lot of emphasis on. And that day, actually, I can tell you how I felt. I felt like if you don't do this now, it's not good. I felt it in my heart, like, do it now. Do it now. Say thank you now. Extend your thanks to him. He's not alive, but say thank you for his books and his written material. Do it. You see, even Pastor Nathaniel Massey, I had been having impulses in my heart about him for close to 4 days right now. Yes, of just saying thank you. Let me see, when I saved his picture, I actually went out to look for his picture and I saved it. That was 15th August. Yeah. I started saving his picture on the 15th of August. And it didn't occur to me that we were even in his birthday month. 15th of August, I started saving the pictures. The heart recognizes it. 15th of August. I'll show it to you. A very nice picture of him in the dark. And he was holding the trumpet. 15th of August. I started looking for the pictures. 9:27 a.m. Why won't I stand somewhere and the kind of glory that he has, it will be affecting my ministry also. Why wouldn't it happen? So we are going to be a house of honor. Hey, we honor God. We honor Jesus. We honor the brethren. I will talk about honor for our meetings. And then you will see raw power. I'm telling you, you see raw power. You see healings that you have not seen before. Raw power. The power of the Holy Ghost. Mighty in our midst. Just because we are employing this principle. As when we put away strife and he has done this to me, he has bit me, he has knocked my head. He has swallowed my pencil. He's fighting me. My pastor, he's doing, no. I honor him. Let me just let it go. That's a brother. Proverbs 4:23, our last scripture. Whatever it is I'm teaching you, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Make sure that you keep what I'm telling you in all diligence. The importance of honor in our conduct towards one another, it cannot be overemphasized. Tomorrow we'll look at critically a story, how that Jesus could not do any mighty miracle. He could not. Jesus had been reduced to no miracle worker because of this element. So he had to follow laying on of hands. Even with that one, a few people, said he laid hands on a few folks and a few. But he could not see any miracles. So we're going to see the power of God, the miraculous power of God, strange testimonies in our midst. You have to recognize your pastor. Recognize, I'm telling you. You see the healings that are happening around. I believe in healings and miracles. And it works well with honor. Some people are not wise. The moment you give them some free space, they start to be unwise. Certain things that they saw as privileges and rights, they now feel like, oh no. Same things they wouldn't have done, they start to do. But that's an unwise fellow. But you are not such. You are a wise fellow. When doors are open wide for you, don't come inside and be a fool. I'm not saying don't laugh and don't enjoy. No, but be wise. You see, some people are very unreasonable. You see, they can't tell a balance between, laughing moments and serious moments. It's like the moment they have a laughing moment, they want to laugh throughout when they are serious moments. And their instructions, you see them laughing. Why are you laughing? When it gets serious, you get serious. When it's a joke and we are all laughing, we are all laughing and enjoying ourselves. When we get back to it, you are able to switch back. Yeah, Pastor has switched. Please. I'm teaching you this so that you'll be wise. Because not many people are wise. And I know how to do it very well. When I open my doors to you and I realize that you started, I just close it. You'll be shocked. I close it instantly. Yeah, I used to smile with you, laugh with you. You see that it's not there again. You see that it's not there again. Many times I give people the benefit of the doubt freely, just flow. When I see that you are dishonorable and you are beginning to make certain jokes and put up certain attitudes, you are not able to recognize, I just close it. Yeah. So there are some people like that. Not here, but maybe out. They thought I was very smiley and laughing. But after I close the door, when I see that, I don't smile and laugh again. It's because the same door I get, I thought they were handling well. They shut the door. So have a very effective balance between play and seriousness. When we get serious, we are all serious. You should be able to switch from A. You have switched to you have started working again. Not that we are serious about it. You are still playing, laughing, whatever. I trust none of us are like that. Father, thank you for wisdom in this place. Thank you for we're walking on in this few days we have up ahead of us. Our hearts are going to be in the right direction. We're going to see things rightly. We're going to walk in there and understand what it means to be honorable people.